Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
This is Paul Adams and Mark Schatz, and this is the Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. Today we're in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 31, and what we're going to begin with is a great contrast. As we see what happened in Nazareth, how Jesus was rejected because they could only see him as the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son. And here we're going to see that Jesus goes to a different place, and what a difference that makes. Mark, would you like to begin there and kind of lay out the scene for us in Luke chapter 4, beginning around verse 31?
When you look at Luke 4 and 31, we talked about what's just happened, and I just had a thought, Paul. It's pretty interesting that we'll get into. This chapter starts out with really Satan tempting Jesus. We looked at that a few radio programs ago. So Satan in his temptations, you can tell by reading and everything, he knew who Jesus was, and he acknowledged who Jesus was by his temptations and the words that he says to him. Now just hold that thought for a little bit when we get back here to the last part of chapter 4 that we'll look at. And we saw that just last week in a radio program, Jesus went to Nazareth. The people rejected him because they had obstacles in their mind because, you know, he'd grown up in their town. And now he moves on to another town in verse 31. It says he came down to Capernaum, and this is just after Nazareth where the people rejected him. And it's the Sabbath again, and Luke says that he enters the synagogue and he begins teaching. Verse 32, we see the people in Capernaum. They were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority there. And when you see there, they were amazed with teaching, there's that contrast that Paul mentioned just a second ago. The people in Nazareth, when Jesus read from Isaiah and very confidently and with authority applied it to themselves, they got mad and they rejected him. But now he's in Capernaum and he's there and he's teaching these people who did not have these obstacles in their head about who he was and where he grew up and all of that. When they hear Jesus' teaching and measure him based on that, they're impressed because he was teaching with authority. When you see, you look around the room there in the synagogue, you see a man, and it says in verse 33, Luke writes that he's possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. And this unclean demon cries out with a loud voice, and that loud voice is, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God." So this scene in the synagogue is set up, Paul. There's Jesus. He's been teaching with authority. The people are amazed. And there's this man with an unclean spirit. And that unclean spirit cries out to Jesus and says, "Leave us alone." And that unclean spirit confesses and says, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." So then there's a moment where you can imagine everyone's eyes turn to Jesus. And what happens, Paul?
Well, Jesus rebuked the spirit and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." We see there that when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. So it was a sort of a violent exit, but the man was okay. And as we see this, though, we do understand, Mark, as you were pointing out there, that these demons did believe, and James tells us in another place that demons believe and tremble, and certainly Satan believes, and he trembles. But as we look at this, we come to understand that it's not the kind of belief that we are to have today. It's not the kind of belief that changes our lives and makes us want to do something entirely different. It's some other kind of belief. It's just because, I think you said earlier, Mark, when we were preparing for this, that just because they recognize who Jesus is doesn't make them really believers.
Yeah, and that was the point I was making, Paul, about Satan in the first part of Luke chapter 4. He knew who Jesus was, and by quoting and misquoting some scripture and applying it to Jesus, it's obvious that Satan knows who Jesus is. But that's not a saving belief. That's not an obedient belief. And here we have the demons. They knew who Jesus was, the Holy One of God. But it wasn't a saving or obedient belief in the idea that they were going to become his disciples and his followers. And you see Jesus rebukes him, tells him to come out, And the demon does exactly what he's told to do because Jesus had authority from God.
And they're amazed by this in verse 36. And they say, how could it be? Who can have a word like this and have the authority and the power that he commands unclean spirits and they come out? And so we see that the word goes forth. And so one of the applications that we thought about this is that people in Nazareth, because of their preconceived ideas, because of their prejudices in their own mind, that they missed out on seeing these miracles. They missed out on hearing further teaching from Jesus. But when Jesus goes to another place, we see that some outstanding, some great things follow, and people's lives are changed.
Yeah, you can see that here. The people of Nazareth, all they got out of Jesus being there and teaching to them was they got angry. And they drove him out of town, and he passed through their midst, as Luke described it. Now here he comes to Capernaum. Here's a group of people who are more open-minded. They're more ready to listen to what Jesus says without these roadblocks of the mind. They're more ready to watch and see what's going to happen, more ready to accept the message of God that he was preaching. And this demon is there, and they see this interaction with Jesus and the powers of darkness, this demon going on. And they see how Jesus has power and authority over even this demon, and that the demons are obedient to him. And we see a lot of things happening here in Capernaum. When nothing happened in Nazareth that was positive and good, we see here a people who grow closer to Jesus in their thoughts and their minds, closer to accepting what he said. They're blessed in their lives because of it. Certainly this man that had an unclean spirit in him that was possessed by that, he was blessed by what happened there in Capernaum. People's lives were improved. We see the effectiveness of God's message here in Capernaum. All these things are things that were better than what happened in Nazareth when the people had their minds blocked and wouldn't listen to Jesus.
And as we look on, we see that Jesus leaves that synagogue in verse 38. He goes to Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever in verse 38. And a request was made of Jesus concerning this woman. And we read in verse 39, so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. So here, this woman is completely healed to the point that she can get up from being so deathly ill to being able to serve those who are in her house and in Simon's house. And
sorry, Paul, but there's something really interesting here I see. What these people are being taught, even taking it back to Nazareth. The people of Nazareth learned nothing but to drive Jesus out of their town. So they gained nothing. They learned nothing. The people of Capernaum were more open-minded, and they listened to Jesus, and they were accepting truth, and they were accepting fact and who he was, and they saw things being done. And then we come to verse 38 that you mentioned, that he got out of the synagogue. All right, he got up and left the synagogue. He entered Simon's home, and it says, now Simon's mother-in-law, she was suffering from a high fever. Now look at the next phrase. They ask him to help her. When people don't have obstacles in their mind, like the people of Nazareth, they start learning that Jesus is the place you go to for help. Here we're going to see things like, Jesus is the place you go to for help in the idea of physical things. He goes to for the place in understanding the scriptures. We're going to see that more and more, as people have open minds, they go to Jesus for help. And sorry that I interrupted you there, Paul, but that was just a flashbulb that went on off in my mind when it said they asked him to help her. Jesus is teaching people to come to him because he has the answers and he has the help.
Oh, what a great point, Mark. And we'll stop there in verse 39 for today. But I hope that you'll see there that Jesus is the place to go for help. When we need hope, when we need the hope of eternal life, Jesus is the place to go. He will say in another place that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can't go to the Father except through him. I hope that as you hear this, you hear the excitement that Mark and I have about the scriptures, how much we enjoy studying together, and we're glad that you can be a part of that. And we hope that you will join us again next time for a few more minutes of truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.